8-game winning streak, 11 wins in the last 12. The New York Yankees, in that 4-game sweep at the hands of the Blue Jays, never held the lead. That's the first time that's happened to them in a 4-game series since 1924.
Crazy. It's crazy.
So, Jays are now a half game back, play 4 against Baltimore starting tonight, and a doubleheader tomorrow. So, by the end of play tonight, the Yankees are playing the Mets, and the Red Sox are playing the White Sox on the road. By the end of the night, the Blue Jays could be in a wild card spot, which is hard to believe. 3 weeks ago, their chances of making the playoffs were like 6.5%.
It's unbelievable. So, they've been on. That's a heater. That's the definition of a heater there.
Keegan Matheson from MajorLeagueBaseball.com has been on the road with the Blue Jays. He's in Baltimore tonight, and he joins us now. Keegan, I guess we now know the answer to the question, what would the Jays be like if the pitching and hitting came together at the same time?
It's scary, guys. We've seen this in segments. We've seen one at a time where the lineup will show up and the bullpen botches it. We've seen the starters show up and they only get one run from the lineup, but everything working at once. It's hard to call it complementary baseball. There's not as much overlap between these parts of a team in baseball, but they are really running with one another right now. And there's so much talent on this roster, and that's been the confusing thing all season. When you put this paper roster down and look at the names, you think, man, this is a playoff team, but it has looked so bad at times. And finally working now, we'll see if they can sustain this, but this is the run they've been looking for all season long, that run that defines a season.
Would a letdown scare you at all, Keegan? I mean, that just when they were in New York, the intensity for 4 games straight, it was like, this is the big time, it's on the line right now, and they performed so well, and now you're going into Baltimore. Is it difficult, or do they got to avoid falling asleep and falling asleep at the wheel here?
Yeah, that's on my mind, too, coming into a series like this. And, I mean, no disrespect to the beautiful city of Baltimore and Camden Yards, but this is not exactly rocking like Yankee Stadium right now. There's not really a playoff race going down in Baltimore this season or the next few. So it's going to be a little quieter here, fellas. And that's when you really need to see a team keep it going. I think the Blue Jays showed one encouraging sign on this, which was showing they can win games in different ways, not just slugfests, but doing it with pitching and defense as well. So that's step one. But this is that classic, you know, trap game that we talk about all the time, where you're coming into a different city with a team that is fighting for something completely different from you. And we'll see how this goes. But, I mean, Robbie Ray on the mound against the Orioles should be one of those hide-the-kids type of baseball games. But you do always look for that trap game.
Keegan, when you think of this Blue Jays team, would you say early on in the season when things maybe weren't going as well, where I know in hockey we always use the term like puck luck. There was things that, you know, it looked good, but just, you know, they're having bad luck, having an injury here that affected the team. You know, the Blue Jays are playing so well right now. In watching this sweep of the Yankees, it was almost like everything they did came up perfect. So are they somewhere in the middle between that, you know, early on in the season to what they are now? Or are they closer to what they are now as what you expected as a group?
You know, you're seeing the top end of those bounces now, I think. And it was really the Yankees guys who were getting those. They were botching plays. They were booting balls around. And it's always so magnified when you lose. Because if you make a bad play but then come back and win 6-5, nobody remembers. Nobody cares. But if you are the guy who boots a grounder or misses a cutoff man and loses, everyone's talking about it. You've got some fool like me sending tweets about it. It's out there and everyone's talking. So I think they have covered up a lot of those along the way as well. And you're not always going to get as much help as the Yankees gave them. There was one of those games, I think game 2, where the Yankees had 3 errors in the first 3 innings. That's not how a playoff caliber team's going to be playing them, especially if you're up against someone like the Rays who play such a clean brand of baseball. But I think when you are struggling like they were, even through mid-August, guys, when they were scoring 2-3 runs a game and it was just an ugly grind, there was no energy at the Dome whatsoever. I think those things got magnified, but now you're seeing them really roll and carry some momentum. It just doesn't look as ugly.
We're talking with Keegan Matheson, our MajorLeagueBaseball.com reporter for the Blue Jays. Keegan, the Blue Jays outscored the Yankees, what, 25-8? In the series, and Vladdy Guerrero hit 3 home runs. We were talking with you 3 weeks ago about Vladdy's slump in August. What's turned it around for him?
You know, Vladdy, what he's doing right now, guys, I think is a great example of why this team is surging at the time they are. It's young players learning how to be their best when they don't feel 100%. And talking to a lot of these players recently, Bo Bichette had a great quote last night that in August, guys were trying to hit two-run home runs with nobody on base. You want to be the guy that turns it around, but the second you're trying to do 110% in baseball, some smart veteran pitcher is going to throw you a changeup and you're going to look like a fool. You'll be down on one knee missing it. So I think a lot of these guys are learning when to pull back, when to just be themselves. And then physically, you know, Vladdy has admitted these last couple of years he's just been playing out of shape. He has run out of gas, and that was starting to happen a bit. His energy was not there. You guys could see it watching. But I think he has learned how to manage that, what days you don't need to max out and burn yourself out. And nobody feels great this time of year, but there's still people who hit. And the people who hit are the ones who learn to manage that.
Keegan, how do you see Charlie Montoyo in this big picture of things? It seemed like when he was brought in, he might be the guy to help with these young players, to kind of guide them along, help them become professionals. And at some point, it might be turned over to somebody else, maybe with possibly with more experience, to kind of get them over the hump. How do you see him moving along with this train in the future?
And I agree with that take from the start, too. You know, that development background he had, it seemed like it lined up that way. You know, get these guys to the majors, turn it around, and then go from there, maybe with someone else, maybe with Charlie. But I think these next few weeks are huge for him and huge for this coaching staff, because you're finally seeing that real pressure. And I know last year was a playoff season, if you want to put an asterisk next to that, with an expanded format, 60 games. It didn't really have that long grind and real rush that we're going to see this year. So everything is going to be under a microscope. And the big change now is that nothing can be written off as development anymore. If a guy screws up, it's not about development. It's not about smiling and learning something from it.
Yeah,
it's about winning that day. Absolutely.
Who has been, I guess we'll call it, your biggest surprise this season? Is it just easy to be like Robbie Ray, or is there somebody else that is maybe not getting enough love for how consistent they've played, how good they've been because of the other storylines with the Jays?
You know, Robbie Ray does need some love there because, I mean, when they signed him, guys, I remember last offseason Mark Shapiro said priority number one is strike throwing, and then they went out and immediately signed the guy who just led the planet in walks. And I said, what's going on here? But evidently, they had something in mind. And if Robbie Ray had have pitched to expectation, and that's, let's say, a 4.1, 4.2 ERA, the Blue Jays aren't nearly as close. Like this guy is a legitimate Cy Young contender. Beyond that, around the diamond positionally, I think Vladdy, of course, has exceeded expectations. A lot of guys playing to expectations. Tim Mayza is a guy in the bullpen who is not the big name. You're not going to see a lot of Mayza jerseys around the ballpark, but I remember back in March, he was competing against Francisco Liriano for a bullpen spot. He didn't even have a 40-man roster spot, and without him right now, it's Jordan Romano and who else? So I think they've really found some nice pieces there, but gosh, Robbie Ray, compared to what we expected from him and compared to what he showed last year, which was nothing, he has just been amazing.
You mentioned Robbie Ray. How do you kind of keep the faith between the two parties? I would assume with and without agents getting involved, because he was a reclamation project. The Jays believed they could help him. He liked the situation. He wanted to come back here for another year. But with the performance that's been going on from Robbie Ray, how do you kind of continue that to see this being extended past this year, Keegan?
You know, that's the dream scenario, guys. But what I always say to fans looking at a scenario like that is I don't think you can overstate how tempting it is to have 30 different teams or companies bidding on your services. Man, oh man, that must be nice. So if you're Robbie Ray, you are coming off the best season at the best time. And the relationship with the Blue Jays will help. I don't want to wipe that away completely. That will help with Pete Walker, especially with the Blue Jays and their departments here, because this is where he's found success. And Robbie Ray is a very routine-based guy. There's no big exciting change he's made. The answer every time is just, I've figured out the routine, I do the same thing every day, and it works, which is great for him. But I think that when you are at the top of the market like he is, you've got to be very, very interested in what everyone else has to say. Same for Marcus Semien when you're going in after such a good season.
All right, one more question for you, Keegan, before we let you go. One, if you want to pick at things, It wasn't a great night for Nate Pearson in New York. Where does he fit going forward?
You know, Pearson still needs to prove himself, guys. He had that great outing last year in Tampa. Two innings, five strikeouts in that wild card series. But this guy's 25 years old, and it's great that he throws 100, but every team has somebody who throws 100. Most teams have two or three guys who do that. So he needs to prove it at this point. He has lived on that prospect stock for a long time, rightfully so. The tools are there. The talent is there. But at this point, it's not about projection. It's not about being a prospect anymore. He is 25 with the talent to do it. He just needs to do it at this point. He could
and
be
it's not
that
exactly experimental time either.
No, not at all. This is crunch time. So it's right. He could be the X factor, but he's got to do it.
All right, Keegan, thanks for talking to us. Enjoy the weekend in Baltimore. Have some crab cakes for us.
Will do. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, that's Keegan Mathison, MajorLeagueBaseball.com, Blue Jays reporter. So I want to get something off my chest here.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
So I didn't know, when I was hosting the show in the summer, it took me like 3 weeks to find out that there's a group chat that goes on, okay? I didn't know about it. I got home one day, there was like 18 texts. I'm like, who texted me 18 times? It turns out there's this group chat. So before I did the show today, Hayes warned me, Noodles and O, like, often check out and don't ask questions.
Oh, right. We'll have to bring that up with him next week.
So I got this thing, like, all these thumbs. Like, you set a thumb up, there's all these thumbs. So I thought maybe I'd try to squeeze a question in, and now I'm getting dumped on. Check the group chat, Gord. Bad show etiquette. So,
yeah. Well, that's the producer saying that.
Yeah, so I just want to say, like I didn't realize you guys were such blabbermouths that you were going to, you know, ask all these questions. So
I think that we generally, me and Noodles, have a policy where we think it's the responsibility and duty of the host to generally carry the interview, wouldn't you say? And if we maybe jump in with one question, I think it's a job done.
Well, we got a little crazy, we had one or two, here's the thing. Seven thumbs here. Well, there were a couple of thumbs that were errant because you blew through them. But my point being is there's three of us and one guest. So sometimes, like, especially if it's a topic like golf, like if there's a golf guy on, I'm not asking a question because Hayes and O are so excited to talk about, you know, putting from the rough, you know, what do you name it? You know, like all sorts of things going on.
We get it.
Yeah.
Right.